Hare Krishna. Child said the second verse of the 14th chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Idam Jnanam Upashritya Mama Sadharmyam Agataah Sarge Pinopajayante Pralaye Navyatanticha. So he says, Idam Jnanam Upashritya. By taking shelter of this knowledge that I am going to give in this chapter of 14th chapter on three gunas, Mama Sadharmyam Agataha. One attains the same nature as me, Krishna is saying. Because Krishna is beyond the three gunas, he is gunatit. And the soul also can become gunatit, he can go beyond the three modes, he is saying. Sargepi na upajayante pralaye. Sarga means creation. Pralaya means annihilation. Na vyatanti cha. You remember the word 2.15 verse where the word vyatanti comes? What is that word? Yamhina vyatayanti ete purusham purusharshava. That he says also. So the word vyatanti means disturbance. So he says sargepi and pralayepi. In sarga and pralaya, na vitanticha. One will not be disturbed. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. So we had a nice beginning by Sri Radha Gopinath Prabhu. And last week, the 14th chapter. See, this 14th chapter has a connection to the 13th chapter through one particular verse, very popular verse. Will you say that verse? Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasajnyo nijanmasu. This is a very popular verse and Prabhupada would often speak about it. So there are the very important word is the Purusha here. So these two words are explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha is the enjoyer and Prakriti is the enjoyed. For example, you eat a plate of prasadam. So what is enjoyed? Prasadam is enjoyed. And the eater of the prasad is the enjoyer. So there is a difference between the enjoyer and the enjoyed, which is explained in the 13th chapter. And at that time, Krishna is saying, actually, although there is a Purusha who is the enjoyer and the Prakriti which is enjoyed, and we understand the difference between the two. Generally, the stronger one is the enjoyer and the weaker one is the enjoyed. Say, for example, somebody sets up a hotel or something and they employ some 20, 30 employees. So the employees depend on the employer, isn't it? See, employer, like imagine tomorrow, Bill Gates opens a hotel and then he closes it down. Will he suffer? He may not suffer, but who suffers? Employees. So they are actually... they are enjoyed by the owner and then he also gives them some remuneration or something like that. So they are enjoyed and he is the enjoyer. So the stronger ones is enjoyer and the weaker ones enjoyed. Prabhupada quotes elsewhere, Ahastani Sahastanam Apadani Chatushpadam. That he quotes also. Falguni Tatra Mahatam, he says. Falguni means weak ones. And Mahatam means the mightier ones. Even in this world we can see everybody is trying to please somebody. You will always see that. Like children are trying to please the parents when they are in the school days. And when they go to college days, again the students are getting money from their parents only. Every month. They don't earn on their own, you know. So they're trying to please the parents. Then later on when they do a job, now they have some independence, but still they're trying to please the boss there, in the company. And eventually when a person gets married and settled, he's trying to please the family members. and also the people, relatives, friends and everybody. So at any point of time you will see nobody is independent in this world. Like a disciple is trying to please the guru, like the praja is trying to please the raja, children are trying to please the parents. In that sense, everybody in this world is under some guru, and the guru is also not free, he is also under Krishna. If you see like that, that's a Vedic life. The only one independent person is who? Krishna. And he is also serving devotees. Of course, he is independent, but he is serving out of?
Love.
He is serving out of love. Prabhupada says, you know, Arjun always considered himself servant of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Krishna considered himself servant of Arjuna. Thus, Krishna is establishing himself as servant of the servant. He is saying, so Yudhishthira servant is Arjuna, Arjuna servant is Krishna. So Krishna is becoming servant of? Servant, he says. Of course, that's a voluntarily accepted position. Krishna accepts that position. That's simply out of love. From a tattva point of view, Krishna is not servant of anybody. Matta parataram na anjat. He said, no? There is no truth equal to me. No truth superior to me, he says. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. Kinchidasti. There is no truth superior to me or equal to me also. So, that is why Krishna is called Swarat. In the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Avijna and Swarat. Two qualities are mentioned. Fully knowledgeable and fully independent. Whereas nobody else other than Krishna is fully independent. Like for example, this famous verse, you all know this song. Shita atapa vatavarishana yedinayamini jagire vifalese vino kripana durjana chapala sukhala balagire. So Prabhupada would often quote this. He says, sometimes in India, the summer is very hot here. And people say, maybe people in America and London are more happy because the climate is very cool there, people think. But you go to London, America and other places, there it is frozen practically. Minus 10, minus 20 degrees Celsius. And they always say India is a very warm country. In America, they use the word warm. Warm means very sensitive, you know. Warm means very nice and friendly. Why they use warm? Because generally the climate is cold there. So they say cold behavior means what in America? Very insensitive behavior, careless behavior. You call it as cold behavior. So warm means considered very nice. In India, people don't like warm so much here.
We say warm welcome.
Yeah, we also say warm welcome because we have learned from them only. Yeah. English. Yeah, we say warm welcome, we say also. But in India, what do you like? You like heat more or cold more? Sheetal Chandra, correct? We like more cool climate because it's an equatorial zone. It's very hot. So Indians are thinking they are happy and they are thinking Indians are happy, but nobody in material world is happy. Prabhupada saying Sheeta Atapa. Some people like Atap, some people like Sheeta, but ultimately everyone is suffering from one of those two things, he says. Another thing he says, like sometimes you see, you know that I have to go to company at say 9 o'clock or something like that. You look outside your window, it's heavily raining. But still you have to go, he says. Despite your not wanting, one has to go. So Prabhupada, the point is trying to explain is we are not free in this world. Everyone is obligated to somebody in this world. So in this way, although everybody desires freedom and they are obligated, like many times you all may have experience in the school days, in summer vacation time, we get 2 full months holidays. You know? You have experience of that? Isn't it? Children enjoy the most because you don't do anything. Just you get up in the morning anytime you want. And sometimes we used to play with this imli seeds, you know? Tamarind seeds. How many of you played with imli seeds? You know? So I'm not the only one, I believe. So you all know it. You know, counting it. Sometimes you would polish it and one side will be white also.
Two parts.
Yeah. Is it? So similarly, sometimes you play with trade, you know. Sometimes you play carom. Sometimes you play chess. Sometimes you go on playing. You forget about your lunch also. So it's a very joyful time, you know. Mother washes all your clothes. And she cooks very nice items at home. All you do is just eat well and then play all day. Is it not a wonderful life? Yeah. I think it is like a small sample of spiritual world, isn't it? Eat well and just eat nicely, sleep nicely, enjoy life. So sometimes we used to wish, let the summer vacation go for all time, you know. But then the school will start after that. So all of you agree that in this world everybody wants to be free? Correct, no? So two things we all want in this world. We want to be free, we want to be jolly, also happy. We want boundless happiness and we want to be free. But in this world, everybody is handcuffed by Maya. And that is what is explained in this verse. So, Purushaha Prakritistha, he says. Prakritistha, stha means, you know, situated. Prakritistha, this body made up of material nature, in which the soul is trapped, is bound in this body. And what is it trying to do? Bhunkte, Prakriti Jan. Jan means to take birth. Prakriti Jan means what is born of the material nature, the three modes. Rajaguna, Namaguna, Sattvaguna. Prakriti Jan, Gunaha, is saying. The three modes are born from the material nature and the living entity is trying to become an imitation enjoyer, he says. So, Krishna is a real enjoyer. In the true sense, if you see, Krishna is free. In the spiritual world, you know, he is enjoying with his associates. And like sometimes you read about Krishna in Dwaraka, you can really understand how he is a supreme enjoyer. You see that he is living, the palaces are explained very elaborately in Bhagavatam with description. You know, like the palace, you know, the steps were made of coral and the pillars were made of pearls and so many things. Like lapis lazuli, purposes. Lapis lazuli means vaidurium. Many places are studded with vaidurium. And the palace is very beautiful. Sometimes there is some agarbatti, one full packet of agarbatti is producing nice fragrant smoke, which is coming out of the marble palaces through the windows. And seeing that all the peacocks, they open their all their beautiful feathers and they're making sounds, thinking that the clouds have come. So the description given in Dwaraka is very, very beautiful, how Krishna's palaces looked like. The beds were like foam white. And everywhere you found borders of gold. Like sometimes we make with our tandoor or something a border and then they put some kind of designs in that, you have seen. There instead of design, it was a gold border which studded with diamonds. You know? So, this is our description of the palace. There were beautiful ponds and, you know, lilies and lotuses were there and there were karandavas and swans and so many types of varieties of exotic birds. And also, this explained how Krishna in each of the palaces was doing different activities. In one palace, he was, you know, sitting with Rukmini on the same swing and talking with her. In another palace, he was playing the shataranji or something. Another palace, he was boarding on a horse and practicing horse riding. You know, in one palace, he was doing yajna. Another palace, he was giving prasadam to brahmanas, distributing personally with his own hands. So Narada Muni was going, every time Narada Muni went to one palace, you know, he was like, stand. And every time Krishna would welcome him with the same entu. Oh, great Narada, please come in, please accept your seat. Great sages like you, go to the, you know, homes of people like me, you know, to enlighten us. And every time Krishna said it, Narada was wondering, yeah, already you told me in the last palace. Again, you are speaking as if you are meeting me for the first time, you know. So Krishna's opulences in Dwaraka, you can read. So beautiful it is. You see him as supreme enjoyer. So Prabhupada says, sometimes in this world also people try to imitate it to some degree. Like you go to Kadakwasala, they have a big villa. They also try to make some swimming pool in the middle of the house, you know. They try to make some pond, put some birds, and keep some aquarium, you know. And try to have hundreds of servants and get some 2 dozen motor cars. He says like that. So they also want to say that, you know, I also have a lot of affluence and facilities. But how much can the jiva imitate? Think about it. To what extent can he imitate Krishna? The imitation would be very poor imitation. So, still he is not free. Like I heard Rockefeller, actually he was a very rich man of his times. But he had some chronic constipation. Morning, afternoon, evening, he drank only vegetable soups only. He couldn't eat anything. So he may be having things around him, but he cannot enjoy them. So we call it as happiness in view, but out of experience. Yeah, you can't enjoy them. So you don't know. Simply by possessing, one doesn't enjoy. So Krishna not only possesses, he is also the supreme enjoyer. And he is free also. He is not bound by anything. But we are bound, we are handcuffed in this world by Maya Devi, in this world restriction. You can't eat little extra also. And Prabhupada says, one biscuit you put extra in the belly, it creates problem. So he says, you can't sleep more because you have to go to company or office somewhere. You don't have full freedom to do what you like to do in this world. So Krishna is not only mighty, he is almighty. See, even if a mighty person comes to you, you would better prefer to surrender. Is it not true? Imagine if a Palawan comes to you with angry mood. What will you do? What will you do? Surrender, isn't it? You fold the palms. Hey, I don't know why you are angry with me. Isn't it? You will at least try to avoid the punch on your nose by him. By trying to behave as humbly as possible. But Krishna is not only mighty, but he is what mighty? Almighty. He is supreme. So, actually by understanding our true position, we will be able to easily surrender to Krishna. It's only that we don't understand the position of the jiva in this world. So, he is saying, Purusha Prakriti Stohi. So, Purusha is the enjoyer and Prakriti is the enjoyed. But the greatest surprise in this world is that the enjoyed imagines himself to be the enjoyer. So that is called as imitation Purusha. So there are two Purushas mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. There is a real Purusha, there is imitation Purusha. So the Jivatmas are called as the imitation Purusha, who try to put a show imitation of the real Purusha, Krishna. But this imitation program will not go on for a long time. Like for example, in a family, sometimes the Purusha is called the husband and the wife is called the Prakriti. She is the subordinate. But Prabhupada says sometimes the women also wear pants and t-shirts. So to look like Purusha, externally they look like Purusha. You know, when you see them coming, walking, moving and speaking, you understand they are not Purusha. They are female. Similarly, the imitation Purusha becomes revealed when his inability to enjoy is revealed. Correct, no? Actually, we all can see that we don't have full ability to enjoy this world. And devotees are honest about it. And non-devotees are not honest. Non-devotees don't admit, although devotees can watch them, that they are struggling to behave like a Purusha, but they are unable to. They will be eventually, it's proved. So, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and many other scriptures always show in this world how the imitation ends up in a mess, finally. And one beautiful sentence in 11th canto I read, purport. He says, the living entity is ejected out of his sense gratification program and brushed aside by the sands of time, he says. The living entity is ejected out of his sense gratification program. He says, what is the meaning of that? Ejected out means what? Somebody is imagining, I'm enjoying, going on, making plans, I will expand a business, I will do this, do that, so many things. He is ejected out of the situation, you know. Leaving behind all his business, his money, his everything, relatives, friends, everything. And he is brushed aside by the sands of time. He's finished. And then he is put in a new situation after that, subsequently. So, the 13th chapter, this shloka was explained mainly to make us understand that this imitation business will not last for a long time in this world. It's a temporary program. So, Purusha Prakriti Stohi. Bhunkte Prakriti Janguna. So, yes, one living entity is more mightier than another one. So they can lord over for some time. But then always somebody better than that living entity also comes. Isn't it? Because in this world, there is always a better, you know, bigger and better person than every person in this world. So, the most important thing to understand is the word Prakritistha means we are situated in this body made of material nature. It is very important to understand. In the next line he says, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Gunan. Karanam Guna Sangosya. I'll talk about that little later. Karanam Guna Sangosya. Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. So Sad Yoni means like Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribir. Yendamana Mapuman, she says, no. These are all Sad Yoni. Somebody has got a high birth. Somebody has got abundant wealth. They're born with a silver spoon. Janma Aishwarya Shruta, somebody is very learned or highly educated. And Shri means somebody has bodily beauty, handsomeness. So these are all actually sadhyoni. One is because people praise them, they get name and fame. Correct, no? People, they become popular in the eyes of the public, or they stand out from the public. They become worshipable by other mediocre living entities. The mediocre living entities worship them and adore them and admire them, pamper them. So the sadhyoni has another meaning, that one gets a human body instead of lower bodies. Human body itself is sadhyoni. Why so? Why human body has... That's the reason for that also. You see, the soul always carries the subtle body. You know, even after death also, it carries it to the next body. And then it occupies the next body. According to the unfulfilled desires that are stored in the subtle body. You see, we can easily understand, like sometimes, like I was working in a company, one company called Matran Plat, where I was a machine design engineer, you know. So I used to do some programs, sometimes 3,000-4,000 lines program, and you have to debug them, and it takes long time. Sometimes there are 10 or 12 errors. Then gradually, as you keep debugging, it becomes 8, it becomes 6. And sometimes there are 2, you know, errors to be rectified, and it takes 3-4 days also. Sometimes you're trying. But when you debug the whole program, you feel jolly. Is it not true? But when the program is not done, we used to go to, say, Microwax Center or somewhere. And then if the program is partially debugged, what do? You put a pen drive and take your debugged copy, whatever you have done. And then keep it with you. And later on, what you do, again, you put it in another, whichever terminal is free. You put it there. And again, you continue the work. Correct, no? Then you again go through the program. And then, but you will see that whatever work you have done till now, debugging, if out of 12 mistakes, say you have rectified 4, then it is 8. From there, you continue. Correct, no? Then you further debug. Several times you go to the unit, and then in several days, you gradually debug. So subtle body is like a pen drive only. Where the soul carries his previous impressions, and what are the debugging business, what we are doing, it's a kama, krodha, madhulobha, moha, matsarya. Those are the bugs that we have to work on. We have to debug them. When we have not cleaned them up properly, then again and again now we are given opportunity. Again go to the lab, again sit with it. So in our body, the hard disk is the subtle body. Of course, the hardware is the external body, which we see, physical body, the whole hardware of the computer. But who is the operator of the computer? It's a soul. Soul is the operator of this bodily computer. So one computer is given to me, I am operating it, and then later on this computer is not available anymore, so I get another computer. But what am I carrying with me? Pen drive or external hard disk. The program that we have to polish. So the human form of life is an opportunity given to the operator to clean up the program, debug the program. Because like if I have become 30% pure, I start from 31%. If you've done 70% pure, I'll start from 71%. So, and another important information is mentioned. At the time of death, whatever subtle body I have, that becomes a template for the next gross body. The subtle body at the time of death. Like for example, externally our body looks like what? Human body. If you see, this body also changes from childhood to boyhood to youth and old age and then death. But the form of human being remains, no? Isn't it? Whereas subtle body if you are able to photograph subtle body or videograph subtle body, it will be constantly changing according to our thoughts. You know, if somebody gets lusty thoughts, it may become like a dog, you know. Yeah. Somebody gets like sleepy thoughts, it may become like a polar bear. Subtle body is changing at different moments. There is a constant change as we keep on thinking of something. You have heard this saying, you are where your mind is, it is said. You are where your mind is. So, whatever our mind absorbs in, subtle body keeps changing. But then at the time of death, the subtle body freezes. Because now you have spent all your life, whatever consciousness you accumulated at the time of tada sadbhava bhavita. And then whatever subtle body is frozen, that's a template for the next grass body. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita. So, one can observe one's quality of consciousness. One can observe one's quality of thinking. What kind of thoughts are crossing my mind? Are they asadhyoni thoughts or sadhyoni thoughts? Sadhyoni thoughts means, sat means pure, asad means impure. Sat also has another meaning, permanent, and asad means temporary. So sat also has another meaning. All the items that can take us close to spiritual world are called sat. And asat means that which is dead matter, which has no much substance. So, sadhyoni, asadhyoni. Asadhyoni is who? Like a dog or a cat or a camel or a donkey or a horse. Or lower animals like cockroaches and insects and aquatics. Plants. They are all called asadhyoni. Why they are called asadhyoni? Because in those yonis, you have no opportunity for debugging your subtle program which you have. It's like sometimes, how many of you have experienced, you go to your computer lab, all the computers are occupied. You have the pen drive with you, but there is no opportunity. Similarly, the soul is not given opportunity sometimes to debug the subtle body. Yeah. A USB drive you have with you. Oh, that's a USB drive, not this thing. The drive is not there, so you can put it only. Body is given, but the body has no facility. Isn't it? You can't clean up yourself. Like somebody is in dog's body now, that opportunity is arrested now. You cannot clean up. That means whatever subtle body you have to keep it only. Somebody had a desire to be a butterfly to fly. Somebody had a desire to be a dog. Somebody had a desire to sleep like a polar bear. Somebody had a desire to enjoy flesh like a tiger. Somebody wanted to enjoy lusty activities like a dog. So all these bodies are tak, 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 tak. Some five bodies you do. And once you finish them, by default you come back to human body. Again. That you don't have to do any endeavor in animal body to get a human body. When the animalistic desires are finished, then by default automatically come to human body. Like that you come. You see? And then again you can put the USB stick and start your program again. But most people in human body also, they don't clean up the subtle body. Yeah.
Sometimes we hear the pastimes where even the bull or dog, by some mercy of the devotee or the Lord,
yeah,
they
are counted as exceptions. Yeah. We talk about rule or exceptions. These are general rule we talk. Exceptions are always there. But exception cannot become the rule. So we talk about the general rule. Now somebody sees that I have been waiting for 2 hours, that all the computers are busy. Now I am given a chance now. I got one terminal free. You run there and you sit there. And you put the USB stick also. You not debug the program. But suddenly get into video games. Yeah. Suddenly get into playing games. This game, that game. hitting this. Some people move with this and that. And they have given you only 2 hours time. And 2 hours is over. Then again you take the stick and go. Practically, you have not made any progress. And that's what 99.9% of the world population is doing now, if you see. They are simply playing with the human body. I heard one story. One penniless beggar was roaming here and there in want of some bhiksha patra, you know. At last, he came to one pot shop where that fellow was making one kumhar. Kumhar, you say, no? Potter, he was making pots, you know. So he begged him, you know, sir, can you please give me a pot? He said, no, you have to pay 10 rupees. He said, sir, what money I have? I'm a beggar, penniless beggar. What can I pay you? Why don't you give in charity? Punya kaam ho jayega aapka. Please give me one pot free. That fellow wasn't giving, but this beggar was very persistent for a long time. Then that fellow gave him a pot. Take it. But this beggar took the pot, but what he was doing? He came a little away from the shop and he started throwing it up, and then he would run some distance and catch it. That game he was playing. Then again he would throw it up, then he would come back, he would catch it. So when he did 2-3 times, what happened? One time when he threw the pot, by the time he could run, it fell on the ground. Tag! It just broke into pieces. Then he took all the broken pieces and he went to the potter again. Sir, 2 to the abbey, please. Can you give me another one? He asked. He said, already I gave you one free. You want one more? I cannot give you now. So with great persuasion, he got the second one. And what do you think he did with the second one? Same thing he did. So that pot is compared to human body. So the Jivatma gets a human body with great difficulty. You know, he has been going through animal bodies and plants' bodies and birds' bodies and everything. When he gets human body, he misuses it, simply playing with it, meddling with it. Actually, the Bhiksha Patra is meant for only particular purpose. What is it? You are supposed to accept Bhiksha and then you eat and then you wash it and keep it and then you accept it. It's meant for a good purpose. But one can throw it and play it and break it. Make it a useless one, you see. Similarly, the human body is meant only for one purpose only. What is it? Refining our consciousness. Yes. Self-realization. You see, birth and death happens to everybody. But how we live our life is the most important thing. When Parikshit Maharaj was taking birth, you know, the Brahmanas clearly told Yudhishthira Maharaj that Parikshit will be bitten by a serpent. But Yudhishthira Maharaj never took it seriously because he thought, theek hai, somebody is bitten by a serpent, somebody is bitten by a dog, somebody dies without anybody being bitten. Anybody has to die one day. You know? He didn't take about the death very seriously. Imagine if you are a grandfather of a child, if somebody says something like that, will you not pay attention? You'll be very concerned, no? We will try to postpone death, you know, with some ventilator or something. Is it not true? But Yudhishthira Maharaj never bothered about death. Why? Because, you know, birth and death, everybody has to undergo. Yeah. Like we say, prati janme janme pita mata paya. You know, when you become a billi, you get a billi ma, billi bap. You get also, yeah. When you become a cockroach, you become a cockroach anima and cockroach bapa also. Everybody gets. Prati janme janme pita mata paya, he says. In human body also, you get mother and father. And you get birth and you die also. Everybody dies also in this world. What is so great about it? Somebody lives 30 years, somebody lives 80 years. But how we lived our life, that's most important. Did we really debug the program? Did we really clear up? Did I go from 20% to 50%? Or 50% to 80%? Have we made purification? So purification of existence is the only goal of human life. Self-realization, purification of existence, elevating my consciousness. That is the most important thing. And what is this elevation in consciousness? It is not just getting rid of kama, krodha, madaloba, all this. The elevation in consciousness to realize Krishna is the enjoyer. I am only a servant. So, like if you come to the Krishna temple, here openly, practically it is shown to you, sir, the enjoyer is here and you are only a servant. Krishna is standing beautifully with a flute. He has Radharani by his side. He is being dressed very nicely. He is garlanded. He is ornamented. And they are putting perfumes. They don't put for us. They put for Krishna first. You've seen that in the morning? Govindam. They put that time. Pujari goes all around, you've seen. And on Pusha Abhishek day, flower Abhishek is done. We are supposed to enjoy seeing Krishna being worshipped. Nobody should think, you know, will I also get Abhishek? Of course, you may get Abhishek of what is remnants of Krishna. But we are not given the first Abhishek. Why these things are so openly done in the Vedic life? For us to gradually come to grip with the realization that who is the enjoyer? Krishna is the enjoyer. Somebody was asking, Prabhuji, why they are pouring so much honey, you know, so much milk, so many fruit juices on the deities? What's the meaning of Abhishek? You see, The abhishek is done with very special substances, if you see. Hmm? One thing is these substances, some of the substances are very costly items also. Hmm? Some of these substances are very tasty items. Some of these items are very fragrant items. Some of these items are very auspicious items with which the abhishek is done. And if you see, the Lord is wearing garland of dry fruits, which is very costly, you know. Can anybody consider wearing? Like if you see, Lord Jagannath is sitting on thousands of shaligrams. You know that? If you go to Puri, you will see Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they are seated on many, many, many shaligrams, hundreds and thousands of shaligrams. You will see that. Huh? Which goes to show actually, you have seen that in Jagannath Puri? Hmm? The center of all the shaligramas is kept. Actually, you will find the Lord is worshipped with always the greatest of the opulences to make people know that He is not an ordinary person. The way He is decorated with all kinds of, like the Tirupati Balaji, the very beautiful diamond crown and everything. For people to understand that I am not the enjoyer, He is the enjoyer. And then we offer bhoga to Him first, then we accept prasad, we circumambulate, we dance for Him, we sing for Him, we speak His glories also. So it's all to help us realize He is the enjoyer, I am only His servant. He is the supreme. So Purusha Prakriti, so when you say, so there are two types of Purushas. One is the true Purusha, another one is imitation Purusha. Actually, true Purusha, Krishna says later, that he is actually Upadrashta. He is a supervisor also. He is watching the soul, what is he desiring, what does he want. So when the jiva wants to be independent of Krishna and imagine himself to be enjoyer, Krishna doesn't take his charge. He hands him over to three modes. Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattaguna. But if we want to become Krishna's devotee, then Krishna's energy calls Shrimitradharani, she takes charge. Actually, at the time of Diksha, you know this sloka, anybody? Diksha kale, bhakta kare, atma samarpan. Correct, no? And then sama, you know, atma sama, he says. What is that atma sama? Second line. Diksha kale, bhakta kare, atma samarpan. And then what Krishna does, he considers the person. Atma sama, he says like that. So, in that series of verses, what he says, when we take Diksha, Srimati Radharani, whose energy of Krishna, due to Tadatmikata, the word Tadatmikata is used, she considers our material body to be spiritual. She considers. And any service you do with your material body, she accepts it as a service rendered by your spiritual body only. Like that. And how she does it? Just like you take iron rod and put it in fire. Then the whole iron rod becomes, red hot. Then it becomes yellow hot. Then it becomes white hot. You have seen? Any of you have been to smithy shop? You have seen that? In our first year in engineering, we used to go to smithy shop. So we used to heat the iron rod white hot. And with the tongs, you release it. Then take a sledgehammer or something. Keep it on an anvil. Thad! Then you can change the circular shape into rectangular shape. Or a triangular shape. Can change the shape. So change of the shape of the iron rod is possible only when it is in a heated condition. Red hot or white hot, yellow hot condition. Similarly, our change of heart is possible only when Radharani's energy, she completely permeates our heart and softens it and makes it malleable. And that happens by Diksha actually. When we take Diksha from Guru, when he vouches for us, then Radharani, hearing the plea of the Guru, she enters our heart on the order of Krishna. And she heats up our heart with the transcendental vibrations. Which means, anybody who takes Diksha with a proper attitude feels that now I am Guru's property now. Now I will do exactly as my Guru conducts me. I will replace my material intelligence with Guru's intelligence. I will not use my material intelligence. I will use my Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittati Koryakya. So, I took my initiation on May 1993. So, then I was returning to Akurdi. So, when I got on the station, I got a very deep realization on that day. So, I was walking from Akurdi station to my room back. So, I was wearing dhoti kurta and tilak. At the time, one strong feeling came. that I am no more property of anybody other than my Guru. Huh? It is said, you become a property of, my body is property of Guru, my mind is property of Guru. Everything that I will do from now will be only for the pleasure of Guru and not for anything else. My sense gratification business is finished now. Huh? I have nothing more to give and take with the material world. Actually, when this thought crossed my mind, it appeared to me a huge bojo, a burden of sin from my back was removed by somebody. Hmm? I felt extremely light, as if like a balloon flying in the sky. Hmm? Actually, our sinful reactions are removed by the Guru proportionate to our surrender to Him. Hmm? If we don't surrender to Him after Diksha, then the sinful reactions we have to undergo ourselves only. Hmm? So, to the degree we align with the teachings of Guru and use this body for a spiritual purpose, allow Krishna through Radharani to manifest her mercy in our heart and make our heart a transcendental heart, glowing heart, glowing resplendent yellow. We say it's glowing, it's glowing due to spiritual touch of Srimati Radharani. We have to keep our hearts and our limbs of our body, senses of our body completely spiritualized. Like a iron rod put in fire becomes fiery. Huh? Similarly, the heart and our senses in touch with Krishna's supreme potency, Srimati Radharani, becomes spiritualized. Huh? That is, spiritualized means what? All the senses say yes to Krishna and no to Maya. Like something is going towards the ears. Immediately there is a screening device here. The screening device asking, is it Krishna Maya or is it Maya Maya? Maya Maya, it rejects it back. Rejected, sir. Just like you put sometimes a stick when you put, one side it doesn't go, another side it goes. It's called, what do you call it? Foolproofing. Correct, no? Similarly, we also have foolproof senses. Anything related to Krishna, it will go in. Anything related to Maya, rejected. Eyes also, anything related to Krishna, go in. Something Maya, goes back. So, every one of our senses should be used in Krishna's service like that. Now, if we don't allow our senses and our mind and intelligence to be conducted by Krishna's energy, Radharani, what happens? What do you think happens? There is a default substitute available for activating our mind and senses. What is it? Anybody knows? What is the default option for our mind and senses and intelligence to be activated when we don't surrender to Guru's instructions completely? Sense gratification, but it's conducted by modes of material nature. One Hari Bol for him. Hari Bol! Conducted by modes. See, everyone in this world is conducted by either the three modes or by Swarup Shakti Radharani, Smarsi, Krishna's mercy, Mahamaya. Yogamaya or Mahamaya. This is material world, three modes is Mahamaya. And spiritualizing our mind and senses is Yogamaya. Like that. So then the three modes take over, about which Krishna explains in this chapter. And it is very painful. Just like, how many of you know, there was one Ben Johnson who went for a 100-meter race sprint. You know, he reached first, but still he became very infamous. Do you know why? He had taken some steroids, you know, in order to speed up, you know, so that he can come first. So they were wondering how this fellow came in such a short time. So steroids impelled him to run faster. Later on, he became very unpopular because of using a crook technique to do that. Similarly, sometimes you find in Indian cricket match, they do match fixing, you know. You see, match fixing may bring money, but then it brings also a great amount of infamy and one is chucked out of the team. Correct, no? So, in this way, sometimes one wants to win success by some crooked means. Like sometimes you remember in our college days, we used to, polytechnic days and all, we used to drink tea or coffee to study during night, to keep awake. You remember that? People do that. So what happens when you drink tea or coffee? How you are able to keep awake for a long time? It stretches our nerves and we feel I am very fresh. And you keep awake also. And you can turn out a lot of work. And after the exam is over, you'll be completely flat. Along with compound interest, you have to sleep after that. Correct? So these are examples of material stimulation of the body. Drinking coffee, tea or taking steroids. So, the match fixing means getting crooked money to, you know, play the game in the way the match fixer has done for you and all that. So in the same manner, three modes are like this only. They are material stimulants. Like somebody works hard because the mode of passion pushes him. Similarly, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness, about which we will study in great detail in this chapter. What are the three material stimulants? Tamoguna, Rajoguna, and Sattvaguna. And the material stimulants may stimulate all the people of the world. They may be very active looking. But actually, they can never give true happiness. And opposite of these three modes is the spiritual stimulant, which is supplied by Guru and Krishna. So, when we become devotees, we agree ourselves to be voluntarily put under the Guru's custody and say that I am your property, I am yours. And then when Guru takes over, when Krishna takes over, then we are completely spiritualized, our tongue is spiritualized, then only we can speak purely. Otherwise, we'll be speaking maldiction, we'll be bluffing something, you see. Similarly, we can think purely. Prabhupada says, one who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating and defending, he cannot be pure in mind. And one who is not pure in mind cannot concentrate during chanting Hare Krishna. How many of you remember hearing this in one purport of Prabhupada? I think he begins with the reverse. First he says, that is coming in Bhagavad Gita purport. In Bhagavatam 1 purport, first canto, Prabhupada is saying, one who is pure in mind can concentrate. And then he says, one who is not pure in mind cannot concentrate in chanting of the holy name, he says. And then he says, and one who is eating and sleeping, mating, defending habits are not pure, then he cannot be pure in mind also. So it all begins with our eating, sleeping, mating, defending should be pure, he says. And then our mind will become pure. When mind is pure, then concentration is achieved. When concentration is achieved, focused ekagrata chitta comes, then just like you take a lens and you focus it at one focal point, then you can burn away the paper or cotton. Like that you can burn away the impurities. Then when the impurities are burned, then we are elevated more and more. Like that. So, in this way, this verse, one more part of this verse is this. Karanam guna sangosya. So Prabhupada says, do not associate with the modes. Don't do guna sangha, he says. Don't do raja guna sangha, tama guna sangha, sattva guna sangha, because guna sangha causes infection. You see, now we will go to the history of the soul coming into the material world. Originally, the soul is pure, and the soul has glowing consciousness, which is pure Krishna consciousness. But that soul, at one point of time, Krishna sees a little independent mentality, wanting to do something independent of Krishna. So Krishna gives him a chance to access the material world. When that soul accesses the material world, it's like we all have experience, when we have low immunity, you go to some area where people are coughing due to tuberculosis or something. And if I have low immunity, what's likely to happen? You get affected. We get infected. Like once I was going in the train, when I landed in Calcutta, I had such a mucus. Everything. Doctor said you have infected because somebody in the train must have been sneezing. You know? And if you have low immunity, you immediately catch it. And then you also get the same problem. What they have it. Contagious, we say, no? Contagious, yeah. So when the low immunity soul, now what is the low immunity for the soul? Soul who has high immunity means he loves Krishna. And he only wants to serve Krishna. Now, how many of us can say, my love for Krishna is bubbling in my heart, I don't know what to do. Can we say that? Many times we feel we have low immunity. We feel spiritually drained out, weak. But when you come in the Sangha of devotees, again we pick up strength. We come to the temple, chant, dance, you know, hear katha and everything. Our immunity builds up more. But then again we get drained out when you go. Again we have to come and take more. So the soul who has just showed some rebellious tendency to Krishna and comes to wander in the material world, as soon as he comes, he infects one of the three modes. Rajoguna, tamoguna, sattoguna is considered the disease of the material world. As soon as he infects one of the modes, finished, he's enveloped. That's why he says, karanam guna sangosya. When he does guna sangha, he's trapped. And then he gets sad yoni or asad yoni. He gets Brahma's yoni or Indra's yoni, Varuna. Those are all sad yoni. or he gets asuras yoni, rakshasa yoni, or animal yoni. Those are all asad yoni. Sad asad yoni, janmasu gets the bodies. Especially those yonis in which we are not given a chance for self-realization, they are actually called asad yoni in general. Because, you know, your time is running out, but you can't purify yourself. How unfortunate it is. So, when I heard these things from Prabhupada, I was feeling, we have got a golden opportunity in this human body. First of all, we have got a birth in India, which is Bharata Bhumi, Punya Bhumi. Devatas want to be born here also. And in the same, and in this Bharata Bhumi also, there are so many jnani, so many karmakandi, so many yogis and everybody. And we somehow came into Vaishnava Sangha. And in Vaishnavas also, we have got a proper parampara, properly fitting our intelligence and understanding everything. And we got initiation from a proper guru in Vaishnava Sampradaya. And we have the very beautiful purports. Books are available, method is available, devotees are available, nice sangha is available. So one has to take this opportunity very, very seriously because the time is running out. You know this famous verse? Kalakshepo na kartavyo. Everybody.
Kalakshepo na kartavyo.
Kshinam ayuhu kshane kshane. Yamasya karuna nasti. Kartavyam hari kirtanam. So it's a Chanakya sloka. It's a beautiful sloka. He's saying, Palakshepo na kartavyo. Don't do time pass, he's saying, in this material world. Kalakshepo na kartavyo. Kshinam mayuhu kshane kshane. Every moment, time is running out of our hands, without our wanting also. And he's saying, Yamascha karuna nasti. Yamadutas will not show any mercy. Kartavyam harikirtanam, he's saying. Once you do harikirtan and count the imperishable commodities which we can carry with us at the end of our life. And that which can purify our heart. So this is the only homework that is given to us in the human assignment, given for a human being. No other assignment. See, in Tamoguna, one thinks the goal of life is to earn money, eat, drink and be merry. Enjoy senses. Tamoguna. That's what people think. Earn money, store money, spend money, enjoy money, multiply money. And also, enjoy the senses. Fill up your belly and enjoy your senses. That's all people think. And in Rajoguna, what a person thinks? Kuch karke dikhana hai. Very ambitious. Over ambitious. People want to do some big achievements. People want to travel all over the world to big countries. Like, you know, they show in advertisements also. Somebody is standing behind a big car with a spectacles holding in the hand like this stylishly, you know. And there is some beautiful woman by his side or beautiful many women also sometimes. They show. And, you know, he is having a huge bungalow by the side and he has... So, they are creating a greed in the hearts of youngsters. That this is actually a light lifestyle, you should get these things. So, in this way, in Rajoguna, one spends all one's time in trying to impress the other living entities. There is no end to impressing others. Showing glamour, trying to become popular. And that leads to only more and more envy. In Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful example. You know, when the honeybees are drinking honey from the honeycomb, they also sting the neighborhood honeybee. Like that. They drink little honey in one sting. Why? Because they're insecure. See, there is abundant honey. But they think, you know, this fellow will finish before me, everything. Actually, nobody can finish. So much honey is there. Still while drinking, putting both sides stinging. So Bhagavatam gives this example because everybody in this world you will find, while progressing materially, they will also criticize somebody else also. You will always see. You criticize neighbor, criticize relative, criticize colleagues. Somebody that is stinging. Stinging and also trying to get more and more. Greedy also, both. It's Rajaguna is like that. And in this way, when in each of the gunas, we will study about the nature of each of the gunas in this chapter. But the gunas are all this, especially lower nature, Rajaguna and Tamaguna is explained. In this way, in this These three gunas are the conductors of all conditioned souls. So the word conditioned means what? Conditioned by three gunas. When we say conditioned soul means three gunas are making them dance like a puppet. And liberated soul means they are conducted by Krishna and Radharani directly. That's a liberated soul. You see? Conditioned soul is conducted by the three modes, which make a puppet out of them. That's what Krishna is saying here. You see, we were in Vada form. Parampuja Radhana Swami Maharaj was speaking one lecture. But something interesting he said. The whole world is turning towards eco-friendly nature. He said, nowadays, see, one of the student centers I went, they were serving prasad in banana leaf. I was very impressed. I said, hey, you guys are eating in banana leaf. You have returned back to Vedic life, I was saying. But later I saw it is not banana leaf, it's a paper. Any of you have seen paper looking like banana leaf? Yeah, it's a paper. It's like a donkey eating paper. Thin paper actually. But they have made it look like a banana leaf. Same shape they have. Except the shape, it is. So scientists say it has no prana. That means when you take a banana leaf from the tree, cut it and eat from it, it increases your health, vitality, vigor, tejas, everything increases. But when you eat in a paper banana leaf, it doesn't. Plastic banana leaf if you eat. Plastic plate people eat. It's horrible. Similarly, nowadays, like morning we have the chattai for sitting for japam. That is actually eco-friendly chattai, true chattai. But nowadays even the polyvinyl chattai also same color they make. Anybody knows why they make in same color? And people will be confused. They look, nowadays a round plate also they make like leaves made together, they make and all with plastic. That's simply imitation chattai. Although it looks similar. It is not... people will think, just like they put wallpaper of forest all around, or rain shower and things like that only. So Maharaj is telling, people imitated for some time. Now they got really tired of imitation, synthetic. Now they want real eco-friendly, he said, not imitation eco-friendly. That's why people are coming to retreat center and everything. So Maharaj said, we need an eco-friendly environment for a healthy body. And we need an ego-friendly atmosphere for a healthy soul. Nice, no? So he said, eco-friendly and the most ego-friendly place is spiritual sky, where all the pure symptoms are there, like, you know, everybody praises everybody else. Everybody is respectful to everyone else. Everybody values everyone else. Everybody very happily accepts Krishna as their master. And everybody loves Krishna also. And there is no trace of envy. There is no trace of competition. There is no leg pulling, backbiting. There are no ego tussles. There is no justification, mustification. Musti means fight. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's English word. But in India, they will understand if you say mustification. So, in this way, the spiritual world is a very ego-friendly place. So Maharaj was telling that when we are living in a community of devotees with Radha and Krishna in the center, we want both eco-friendly and ego-friendly environment. So ego-friendly means free from false ego. So don't bring in false ego between devotees. And allow Krishna to be the center. See, there is sometimes a strong desire to promote oneself. And many communities, there is a big competition. This sannyasi or maharaja who is coming, he will use whose car? There are 10 devotees want to give car. We don't know whether it is seva bhav or something else. Ego bhav. Yeah. And then after they go, they will say, hey, see, this swami sannyasi used my car. Similarly, where will he stay? In one community, one leader was telling me, when he became a new president in the community, he said, when some big Guruji came, you know, he had to arrange accommodation somewhere outside. So as soon as the news was out, one congregation called them and said, Maharaj can stay in my home. And he was a new president, so he told, okay, you can stay in your house. Immediately, 2 dozen phone calls came. Now only we came to know, you know, I am 2 years more senior. Somebody said, I am 1.5 years more senior. You know, It was a big competition, and then his head was spinning. Where will he stay? Huh? What to do? And he asked Maharaj. Maharaj said, wherever he put me, I will stay. He said, this is my problem, Maharaj. You only choose. He said, no, I will not choose. I will not interfere with your management. So then what this fellow did, he called all those dozen people and said, you have a meeting and break your heads and tell me one house where you should stay. All of them said, let him stay in temple only. Finally. So that nobody can grab the credit of, you know, having him in that house. You understand, no? We can have this kind of tussles. Huh? So, and there is a desire for limelight service. See, there is a very strong desire to be at the center also. Huh? The center of attraction, to capture the limelight. There is a very strong attraction in this world. Huh? So, which can actually lead to many, many ego tussles in this world. Huh? And it's not something which cannot enter a devotee community. Can easily enter. So desire for name, fame, prestige, and competition. Like, you know, one Mataji was telling in those days, Yeh Maharaj, mere haath se chin kar kaate hain. You know, she was telling, I know that Maharaj, poor Maharaj, you know, when this prasad is given, big plate, there will be 25 varieties of prasad. So you go, people bring it and give it to Maharaj. That Maharaj, you know, picks up a few things. Now he may not even eat 1/4 of the plate also. And then rest of it, you know who eats. Everybody knows. Goes to others. And the Maharaj doesn't ask also any item. Give me this, give me that. But when people go and tell others, people speak like that. Basically, people want to become popular also. You know, people want to. So, these three gunas can manifest in society of devotees also in various ways, tamaguna, rajaguna, sattaguna, all these things can manifest. And something which looks like devotion service may not be necessarily devotion service at all, you know. It may be very superficial devotion service. So, that is why this chapter is a very important chapter. In fact, the 15th chapter comes after 14th chapter. See, in 15th chapter, he talks about upside down tree, you know. Krishna tells, so how to cut the upside down tree? We will need this knowledge. Without this, we cannot... Asanga Shastrena Dridhena Chitva, he says in that chapter. So, unless one understands the three modes of material nature thoroughly, and one should become a self-observer by posting oneself outside one's body and watching one's thought process, one's speaking process, one's activity. And one has to be able to very carefully evaluate and understand how my body is functioning, how is my thinking process. So when one can become a self-observer, then only one can go beyond these three modes, eventually by grace of Guru and Krishna. So it's a very important chapter in that respect. That's why Krishna is glorifying this knowledge so much. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha, he says. So attaining Krishna's nature means becoming completely purified. Prabhupada says, if you want to enter spiritual sky, you know, to enter fire, we have to have a body of fire, he says. Similarly, the spiritual world is a very pure place. So, Prabhupada says, you have to become purified to enter there, he says. Sometimes people have a very narrow-minded vision. They think that if I wear tilak and I wear kantimala, I am initiated, then Yamadutas will not come, I will go back to Godhead, you know. Some kind of very crude idea people have. It is not only the, you know, external conditions. That is why I was telling you so much about this pen drive. And purifying conscious, debugging the program. Because without properly debugging the program, without becoming refined and purified, external presentation of oneself as a devotee alone is not enough. So, in sadharmya, attaining a status in the spiritual sky where one can play with Krishna at an equal level, like the gopas and the gopis. So, this knowledge can help us. Krishna is called as Mayadish, and the Jivatmas are called as Maya Vash, you know. But Maya Vash Jivatma can also go beyond Maya by Krishna's grace, by understanding the three gunas. Like Krishna says, you know, Tribir Gunamayair Bhavir Ye Visarvamidam Jagat, the whole world is covered with three modes. Time is also in three modes. A day can be in three modes. Food can be in three modes. Like that, many, many things he mentions. Anything you touch in this world, it is afflicted by some mode. So, Uddhava Gita also explains about it. So many. There are 10 items mentioned in Uddhava Gita. which are in different modes, you know, the food, the time, the place, and all those things. But Krishna says, Tribir Gunamayar Bhavi Rebi Sarvam. But if somebody knows Krishna is Gunatit, beyond the three gunas, then such a person also can go beyond gunas. So by repeatedly remembering Krishna's divine nature, we also become divine. By repeated absorption in Krishna, by chanting of the holy name and hearing his pastimes, and remembering his transcendental nature, we also become transcendental, he says. So here especially he says, Sargyepi na upajayante pralaye na vyatanti cha. Why? In pralaya time, you know, it's explained that Ananta, Lord Ananta is emanating fire, you know, which goes all over the lower planets and middle planet system, high planet, Bhuha, Swaha, Maha, Janaha. Up to Janaloka, the fire goes and scorches all the planets for 36,000 years. Then Ananta is emanating it. And then those who are in Janaloka, they go to Tapaloka. And then those in Tapaloka go to Satyaloka, they all are praying, Pahimam, Pahimam, Rakshamam, Rakshamam. Oh, this. So most living entities perish in that fire. But if somebody survived, then the next is the water of the Garbhodak ocean rises. And from all the Atala, Sutala, Pala, Atala, Atala, Pala, everything, and then beyond the Bhulok, Bhulok, Swalok, Mahalok. In this way, only the higher three planetary systems are not touched. All of the lower ones are completely drowned in water. So in Pralaya is most feared even by demigods also. Everybody fears. So why will one not fear Pralaya? If one has understood three modes of material nature, because one will take shelter of Krishna, then there is no fear. Even in Pralaya call also. In creation or in annihilation, one has no problem. Because you will never be created again. Because you will be already back to Godhead. If one transcends the three modes. Prabhupada says a devotee is never fearful because this is the last body for a devotee. This body is the last body. Of course, we have to prove that statement actually. By understanding this knowledge and living it. Living this knowledge. Because by not cleansing our heart and storing material desires, we come again in this world. We repeat again and again. Like I told you, like my boss used to give me 20 days time to write the program and debug it. So it would be a big program for bearing design. So sometimes I would finish off the whole business in 8 days only. But I'll never tell him. Why? Then you'll know your speed. But less 12 days, I'll read Prabhupada Lilamrita. Very nicely. Similarly, in this world, if you cleaned up your heart fully and you become a Jivan Mukta, then you can be chanting, dancing beautifully. No more material duties in this world. No more material anxieties. Like you say, in what is Swarga, Apavarga, Narakeshu, Apitulyartha Darshana. You put a pure devotee in Swarga or Naraka, Apavarga, wherever you put, what a pure devotee will do? Just chant, dance, you know, practice, preach. And he's relishing spiritual life like that. So if you have done our cleaning program early, and we are still living in the body, such people are called as whom? Jivan Muktas. Just like a coconut, it withdraws itself, and then you do like this, kudu-kudu-kudu sound comes, you know. It is already withdrawn. No more connection with the material body. So that is why there are pure devotees roaming in the surface of the globe, who are purified devotees, who are benefiting others. They are giving shelter to so many thousands of people. So three types of bubukshu, mumukshu and jivan mukta are said. Right now, most people in the material world are bubukshu. They have enjoying mentality. 99% of the population purpose is naradama, he says. And then we devotees are supposed to be mumukshu. That means they are struggling to be liberated. We are struggling to remove the handcuff. We are trying to be free. Sometimes we fall prey to maya. Sometimes we go, you know, we look towards Krishna. Again, sometimes, like sometimes in a Bhagavatam class, you find somebody is doses off. And somebody, everybody laughs. Hey, kya bola? Speaker ne bola. They ask, no? And then they get up by the loud laughter of everybody. Is it not true? So in this material world, we are unconscious sometimes and sometimes conscious. And then the third stage is Jivan Mukta. It's fully wide awake in Krishna consciousness. So this chapter, understanding this and practicing it, will make us wide awake and to Krishna. It's a very beautiful chapter. The following verses will teach us more about the three modes. I can take questions 5 minutes. Exactly at 9 I'll finish. Is that all right? Every time I come? Sharp 9, I want to finish. So 7:30. 7:30, sharp 7:30. 7:30 doesn't mean Indian standard time, you come at 8, people come at 8 o'clock. Sharp. Even if only Rasagarbha was there, I will start now. Hopefully he'll be here. He won't be late from the college. You know? So I was thinking like this. 7:30 sharp, 9 sharp we will close. We will not delay. In case I finish at 8:45, I'll do kirtan. In case I finish at 9, no kirtan. Immediately push off. Because, you know, especially you are all grown-up devotees, senior devotees, you should get to sleep early some days at least. You know, every day go at 10:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11, it's not good. You know, for health also it's not good, and you have so many other responsibilities also. At least from my side, I won't become a trouble for you, you know, delaying the program. There is an ocean of knowledge to speak, you know. We can go on relishing and speaking till 11 o'clock also, you know. But it's better to end by 9 sharp. Anybody want to say anything? Comment or question? Anybody? So I was giving this pen drive example. Many computer engineers here are working, so they will understand it very easily. So it was very easy for everybody to understand?
Yes, very
nice.
Yeah. Practically. Yes. About, once we get into the animal body, we get a human body, you told one reason, after finishing the desire.
Yes.
Is it also by turn?
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't go like that. Actually, it's not that first you are an amoeba and then gradually we go through 8.4 million. Actually, there is a notion amongst even devotees that you have to go through all 8 million species to come to human body. But I can show you in Prabhupada's writings, the first body that is given is human body. Correct.
So when we will get the next human body?
Oh, an animal body means a few animal bodies based on your desires stored in your subtle body.
So after say 10, 12 bodies, we may get human body again.
Oh, yes.
I thought once you slip into the animal...
Everything we have to go through.
We have to go through...
No. We don't have to go through all. Only whatever desires we have.
After desires are fulfilled.
Yes. Yeah, we may have said, I have two dozen desires, I have animalistic desires. See, that's why I told you, Prabhupada says in one place, somebody may have a human body, but they may have dog-like disease. So then the dog's body is a precipitate of the dog disease in the subtle body. See, you know precipitate? Centrifuge is there, no? If you take a transparent solution and you do like this in a centrifuge, then you find some white precipitate below. So the white precipitate was already in the transparent solution. But when you do a centrifuge machine like this, then it comes down. Correct, no? So our grass body is a precipitate of our subtle body. How many of you understand this point? Our grass body is a precipitate of our subtle body. So it's the first installment of our prarabdha karma. So we have to be very careful and cautious to mold our subtle body. So grass body may not be so beautiful externally. We don't have to worry about it. But subtle body molding is very important. See, externally, some people, in human body only, they look like a monkey sometimes. You know? But if the subtle body can be like a devata, at the time of death, that will form the template for the next body. You see?
What we heard was like if someone is in mode of passion, then he gets a passionate animal like a lion. Someone
correct.
In mode of ignorance, he may become, I don't know.
So simply by being in passion or ignorance, we don't get such bodies. But the subtle body is molded according to our tastes.
Yeah,
ruchi,
so whichever animal he comes, then he has to go through all the upper animals. And then come the human body.
Sometimes people think like that. It's not that after this animal body, this will come. It's not like that. Actually, Prabhupada also writes about what I was saying just now. That whatever desires are registered in your mind, those bodies only you get. And it is very scientific. Correct, no?
Yeah.
Like for example, see, how many of you have seen some devotee came to you in the second year of Krishna consciousness and asked, Prabhuji, is this allowed? You know? And you say that, you know, it's not very good to do that, you don't do it. After 4 or 5 years, again, the same devotee will ask you the same question. You have experience of that? Sometimes. Because people sometimes have certain material desires which they have not worked yet. See, when they have not answered it, it again and again keeps coming. Either they have to get a higher taste and eliminate it, or they have to give shape to it and get a better experience and get done with it. You know? Then only they can go higher. No, sometimes it is said like that in order to show that such a variety is available. And
we have to use the human body properly.
We have to use the human body properly.
So actually, it's not like that.
No.
The amount of desire or the number of desires which may be countless.
Yes, correct.
So, that's what I thought. This segment is very popular among devotees.
No, it is not just the desire alone, Prabhu. Actually, it is like some desire is very, very pressing. You know, it's very compelling. Like, imagine somebody was eating chicken fry before. Now he has given it up after coming to ISKCON. But some people go back again. You've seen? There are some compelling desires. So the compelling desires only causes to take bodies again.
So not all,
no, not all desires.
Once you go into any animal body,
The
desires, what will help us to come to human body then?
No. That is actually, you work out that desire, that is finished now.
So by default, body is human.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Exactly.
That's true. You are right. Default body is human. And the fresh karma is created only in human body. Nowhere else. Yes. We are exceeding 9 now. Now we will give Satyat Mataji one chance and we will conclude. Yes, Mataji. No, Mataji. Every soul becomes Brahma first. In one universe. All the Brahmins, everyone was Brahma in their own universe. And that Brahma, for example, he deserved to become a human being because he developed ahankar. So then he is sent to another Brahmanda where already one Brahma is there. He is made a human being there. You got it? Now in that universe has one Brahma and one human. Now there is another Brahma in another universe who deserves to get an animal body because he has got very degraded consciousness. So he is sent as animal in the same universe where there is one Brahma and one human. Then he got an animal body also. You understand, no? So if you very deeply think about it, you will see that everybody first gets Brahma's body only.
After 100 years, then he will go to another species or what?
No, different universes are of different durations also.
After his life, he goes to another
correct.
But this is not at...
We are going to the...
Back.
Correct.
So you say that the material and the spiritual world is parallelly existing.
Yeah, correct.
So this is...
Correct.
No,
material world is always there. Whether it has a... See, there are three levels, Prabhu. One is the Pradhan, then there is Prakriti, and then there is Mahatattva. See, Pradhan is like what? A woman. The Prakriti is like a woman. And when you say like that, then Pradhan means like a pregnant woman. When you say that. Then Mahatattva means the pregnancy is delivered already. And there are three levels. I'll show the video, I mean this PowerPoint next time. You have projector here also? Can I invite next time?
So all various Brahmas come into various
annihilation. See, this universe is getting annihilated and created again and again.
Correct.
So the next creation, the living entities are already in the material world. So many
They are all stored in the navel of Garbhadaksha Vishnu. And when universe is destroyed, they are stored in the navel of Mahavishnu.
Correct.
Yeah.
When the desires they are stored.
Exactly. They again come out.
But what you told that they are created for...
Extremely.
Whenever a living being falls down from the first material world,
Correct. Yeah. And universe are also created different times. And they also have different durations also. Yeah. Because some universes are small, some are big, and they have different time durations also.
So number of universes also keep changing based on how
many coming down. Yeah, correct. And Vishnu is capable of creating as many needed. Ananta Koti Brahmandana. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.